Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by Run Your Pool. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor to get your free entry into our NFL Survivor Contest. First place gets $500 cash and a $250 gift card to the SGPN store. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I am coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne, northeast of England. Today is August the 15th, Monday, and I am here with a couple of co-hosts to take you through a full slate of MLB action for Tuesday, August the 16th. A couple of things to discuss, but we'll introduce the boys first. First of all, OG from Houston, Texas. It is the machine, Moonaf Manji. Moonaf, what's happening?
Not much. Another day in paradise here to talk about the Tuesday games. Thankfully, I am still alive after Willie Z pulled it off yesterday. But other than that, yeah, doing pretty good. Ready to start a new week here with you guys. Glad to be here with you boys.
Yeah, Willie Z was one of the two things we need to talk about. And of course, also Mr. Dylan Rockford. Dylan, what's happening?
What's going on, boys? Nothing much. Just hanging out another day in paradise, like Moonaf said. I have to thank Moonaf. He gave me a nice plus 120 winner to start off my day. Now we just need the Guardians to pull through on the run line. So looking like a strong day.
Yeah, and that was the second thing we need to talk about, is that little the football match. But first of all, Moonaf, because we were live sweating your Willie Z bet last night, and then we got off air just as they drove off on the first playoff hole, and then... Yikes, the next 15 minutes was absolute carnage. What was going on? Nobody wanted to win.
Yeah, nobody wanted to win. You're right. I mean, those are some of the wildest shots I had seen in a very long time. I forgot. I think it was the second time they went back to the 18th hole. Zalatoris hit one like extremely like left, or sorry, right, ended up on the cart path. And then Straka almost put one into the water, but it ended up right there, I think, on the fringe. But he had to take a drop shot from there. And, you know, they ended up both somehow miraculously parring that hole, and then they ended up on 11th, which was absolute carnage. Like, that luck that Will Zalatoris had by that ball
I've never seen a ball end up there, ever. Right, hard up against the lip on the edge of the... stones on the edge of the lake. It was incredible.
Yeah, but long story short, he found a way to get it done. I know a lot of the golf community, especially in our SGP and Discord server channel, a lot of us cashed on the Will Zalatoris. So another great week for the Golf Gambling Podcast. Those guys are absolutely killing it right now. So if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the Golf Gambling Podcast with Boston Capper. I know Shermer's out with some family stuff, thinking praying for him, but he will be back very, very soon.
Yeah, that segues in nicely to a little flex for the Golf Gambling Podcast, because A, it's a great listen, but B, also the information's top class, and that was an example of it last night. Second thing we need to discuss ever so briefly is that Liverpool letting in a little bit of water tonight, you two plastic Liverpool fans. One all home draw with the mighty Crystal Palace this evening, and your new gazillion-bound striker stuck the head on the Crystal Palace centre-back as well.
I don't know. It's okay. I mean, there's a lot of injuries that they're dealing with too, right? Like they have Jota that's injured, Matip's also injured for about 6 weeks with hammies. And I feel like they're still kind of playing with the lineups. I mean, exciting as Luis Diaz is, he literally almost carried us to victory here today. But, you know, something's got to change here. I know they have a walkover matchup in their next matchup with Manchester United. But other than that, yeah, they're going to have to turn it around here, Malcolm.
Are you worried, Munaf? Because Manchester City won both their games, and we drew both of ours.
Nah, I'm not worried. I mean, today was an opportunity to get 3 points. I'll kind of discount off what happened in the first week because crazy things do happen. I mean, Malcolm could probably attest to this more than I can, but I think they're going to be okay.
I think they'll be okay. You've just got to be really wary. You're already 4 points behind City, and it's very fine margins, like especially when Liverpool and City are going and winning 31 and 32 games a season out of 38. You can't afford 4 points, is a big gap. You almost, it forces you into having to win the games when you play each other. You just leave yourself with you've got no more lives. You only get 4 or 5 lives a season, and Liverpool have wasted 2 in the first 2 weeks. So, anyway, it doesn't bother me even one little bit. Man United getting beat permanently is absolutely hilarious, though. I'll never get bored of that. There is a third thing I needed to add, actually, is that I know Noah's missing tonight, but for the second time this season, I destroyed him in the D-Gens Fantasy League. He came up with some sob story about one stolen base winning me the match. I beat him 6-3. I mean, you know what? I didn't win 6 categories on one stolen base. So Noah can bow down to his superior fantasy play here in the D-Gens League. Noah will not be making the fantasy playoffs in that one, where I sit nice and comfortable in third in the table. Right then, so Tuesday night, MLB, full slate of games, 15 games. No day baseball tomorrow. The first game is a 6:40 Eastern first pitch. It is the Philadelphia Phillies and the Cincinnati Reds, where Kyle Gibson will take the hill for the Phillies. And TJ, are we going with Zoik? I mean, Zoik is a more fun pronunciation. TJ Zoik will get the start for the Cincinnati Reds. The Phillies are -178. Cincinnati a +150. Total here is set at 9.5. Kyle Gibson, 7-5, 4.29 ERA. Has pitched 121 and 2/3 with 91 strikeouts. TJ Zoik is 0-1. 13.5 ERA, has only pitched 4 innings with 4 strikeouts. Kyle Gibson, he's kind of typical Phillies. They mirror each other, really. He's just plodding along. His last 3 starts have been decent. He's given up 5 earned runs in 20 innings. So he's in a little bit better form. He's got a 4.73 road ERA, which is a slight concern. Zoik has 1 appearance to his name. 4 innings pitched, gave up 6 earned runs against the Mets. Not much really to go on here with the lack of stats behind Zoik. I thought the safest option here was just Philly on the run line. I think Philly -1.5 is a decent price. Cincinnati don't score many runs. You can see Philly putting up 4 or 5 maybe. And if since he scored 2 or 3, that should get it done here. But yeah, you're taking a bit of a punt with a lack of info on Zoik. So did you know much about him, Munaf, or did you have much of a lean on this game?
No, I didn't have much for this game. I mean, you mentioned his last start against the Mets. He got blown up for 6 earned runs in 4 innings. 2 walks, also hit 2 batsmen in that game as well. So it seems like command is an issue and control is an issue for him. You know, these are the games that Phillies have to win if they want to, you know, stay in the playoff race. Going up against, you know, one of the worst teams in the National League and you know, poor pitching for the Cincinnati Reds. So, yeah, I agree with you. If I did have a play in this game, it would probably just be the Phillies run line.
Dylan, anything different to add on this one?
Nothing really. Yeah, give me the Phillies here, -1.5. I was actually willing to weigh a larger number, but at -110, I think those are good odds. I think I said yesterday, you just can't trust the Reds, or at least I can't. And I don't know too much about this TJ kid. He's only making his second start of the season. And this Philly lineup, as much as I don't like them, they can hit the ball. So I think this is a good spot for them. Gibson, he's been pretty good over his last three starts. He's won two of those on the road. So I think the Phillies roll here. Give me the Phillies run line.
Next up, 6:40 Eastern first pitch, the San Diego Padres and the Miami Marlins. Sean Manaea, left-handed pitcher for San Diego, and Edward Cabrera goes for Miami. San Diego -160, Miami +135. Total here is set at 7.5. And I haven't written down who's taking the lead on which game, so I'll do that when whoever starts handicapping this one. Which one of you boys is it?
I'll take it.
Yeah, I think it's Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you go.
Yeah, give me the under here, 7.5 at -112. I made my total 6.2. Besides the Marlins not being able to score runs, I really like Eduardo Cabrera. He's only had one bad start, and it was against the Astros on the road. His four other starts, he's allowed one combined run in those four starts. So I think he'll be able to keep the fish live in the game. I just don't know if they could give him any run support. So I do think they're live. I wouldn't bet them, but I like the under way more. So give me under 7.5.
Under 7.5 for Dylan. Moonaf, what's your feelings on this one?
Yeah, I watched Cabrera in his last start, and Dylan's right. I mean, he was absolutely amazing for the Miami Marlins. And, you know, he mentioned that he only has one bad start, and which was against the Houston Astros. But, you know, everybody has bad starts against the Houston Astros. So, you know, you have the Padres coming in, who's their offense is kind of hit or miss. And, you know, when they go up against, you know, superior pitching, they tend to not do well to the San Diego Padres. So, I like the stuff that I've seen from Edward Cabrera, and, you know, Sean Manaea, left-handed pitcher on the mound. You can't trust the offense. I agree with the under in this game.
Yeah, I thought that I might be going a bit contrarian here by backing Cabrera, but you boys are obviously wise to it as well. I think he's due. He had a good start. I think he's due a win as well, and I think this could be it because Manaea has been vulnerable. You do need a lot of things to go right to get a Miami win because they just don't score many runs. But I saw this at one, just before we started recording here, I said to you boys, I've seen a lot of line movement from games I handicapped probably 5 hours ago, 5 or 6 hours ago. And I had Miami down here at +165. That's already now shortened up to +135. So there's some money around for Cabrera here. But I'll take a punt with the home puppy. And I'll take Miami on the money line. Next game is the 7:05 Eastern first pitch between the Chicago Cubs and the Washington Nationals, where Justin Steele will get the start for the Chicago Cubs, the lefty, and another lefty, Patrick Corbin, goes for the Washington Nationals. The lines are +130, home underdog Washington. Chicago Cubs -155. Totally ever set it 8.5. And Moonaf, you can lead us off with this one.
In what world am I going to put money behind Patrick Corbin? I cannot do that at all. I mean, his last five games, guys, 15 2/3 innings pitch. He's allowed 26 earned runs in that span. ERA of close to 15. At home this season, he's 3-7 with a 5.17 ERA. And look, he's given up at least 5 earned runs in 4 of the last 5 games. He hasn't made it past the 5th inning in any of those games. His last start, he only lasted 2 1/3 innings. So it's not very good for the Washington Nationals when Patrick Corbin is on the mound. Justin Steele, he's been respectable over the season, 4-7 with a 3.63 ERA. Last 5 games, 1-2 with a 2.13 ERA. Did face the Nationals earlier last week, where he did go 6 innings in that game, only gave up 2 earned runs to the Washington Nationals. So, and against NL East opponents this season, he's 2-0 with a 2.18 ERA. The road ERA is a little concerning at 4.71. But I think that, again, with Patrick Corbin on the mound, the Cubs should be able to put up runs. Give me the first five inning money line here for the Chicago Cubs in this game against Patrick Corbin on the mound.
Dylan, I've got a feeling you might lean Cubs here as well.
Actually, I'm going to go attack a total. Give me the over 8.5. The number seems kind of low. I made my total 9.9, almost at a 10. So mainly because of everything that Munoz was saying, I'm going to fade Patrick Corbin. He's lost six straight. The Nationals have lost seven games in a row that he started, and all those games went over except one. So I think the Cubs will destroy him, and I like the Cubs' first five money line. I want to see what the number comes out at, but I really like the over 8.5 here.
This was really straightforward for me. It was one of my guys, Steele, who's done me well over the last few weeks against one of nobody's guys, Patrick Corbin. So I had the stamina minus 150, which is just about the limit of stuff we go out. We'll often give out a unit and a half play. Shifted ever so slightly to minus 155, but that's a negligible move. And the Cubs have been doing it a little bit better lately as well. So I just said the Washington are absolutely on the naughty step. Yeah, so I'll take the Cubs all day, every day in that one. 7:05 Eastern is the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh Pirates, where Nick Pivetta will take to the mound for Boston. And Mitch Keller is the starter for Pittsburgh. I've only got money lines here. I did have totals earlier on. Books obviously adjusting stuff on the fly here. Boston are minus 142. Pittsburgh are plus 120. Nick Pivetta is 8-9, has a 4.51 ERA, has pitched 129 and two-thirds with 124 strikeouts. Mitch Keller is 4-8, has a 4.25 ERA, has pitched 112 and one-third with 91 strikeouts. Pivetta's struggling. He did some stuff earlier in the season that I was quite fond of, but he's lost it. He's fallen off a cliff recently. 0-3 in his last five starts, 6.23 ERA. At 4.50 ERA on the road, so fairly middling. He's just consistently giving up two or more earned run performances. He's got a home run problem as well. He can't keep the ball in the yard recently, which is an issue. Mitch Keller's been competitive, more than competitive. His last five starts, he's got a 2.45 ERA. So I was interested to see what the total was on this one, but I think this is a decent spot for Pittsburgh. Had them written down at plus 110. They've actually drifted ever so slightly to plus 120. You've got to pick your spots if you're going to get a Pittsburgh winner. But at home, behind Keller, who's been, like I say, competitive is the key word, and that'll give you a chance. So yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh here. How about your team moving after the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, Pivetta just has not been in great form for the Boston Red Sox. I mean, there's no better way of putting it. I mean, if you take a look at his last five starts, the total runs being scored in those games have been 15, 4, 13, 10, and 12. So not only is he giving it up, but he is getting at least some type of run support from the Boston Red Sox. And like you mentioned, Mitch Keller has been pretty good over his last five games, 1-2 with a 2.45 ERA. The one concern I do have about Mitch Keller is that he's still winless at home with a 4.30 ERA. So I agree. I think that we do see runs being scored in this game. And I do trust the Boston Red Sox offense, especially Tommy Pham has really stepped up at that top of the lineup for the Boston Red Sox. It's just about those power hitters at least getting runs across. And I think that they're going to be able to do that in this game. So give me the over 8.5 in this game. I'm probably looking at the Red Sox team total in this game as well. And as soon as I say that, the Guardians just hit a 3-run home run.
Let's go.
Excellent. Who hit that? Do we know?
Jimenez.
Oh, he's been playing well. He made a stellar play in the field earlier on, just backing up. The catcher was trying to throw out a base stealer and absolutely airmailed it about 10 yards right of the bag. And Jimenez appeared from nowhere horizontally and cut the ball off, which was heading out to the right field wall and kept all the base runners where they were. It was fun to watch. Boston had that great win last night against the Yankees in the Sunday night game. Dylan, do you think Boston can back that up here, or are you going to side with Mitch Keller?
No, give me the Red Sox here. Mitch Keller has pitched better at home than on the road. You're right, but the Pirates have lost four of his last five starts at home. Like Munaf said, he's winless at home. I just don't trust him or the Pirates to give him any run support. They blew the game yesterday in the ninth inning against the Giants. So, and the Sox, they've been playing better baseball. They took 2 of 3 from the Yankees. I know they're struggling, so maybe they could build off of that a little bit. So on the road, I do like Dirty Water. Give me the Red Sox.
Next up, 7:05 Eastern, first pitch is the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees, where Jeffrey Springs, it's another double lefty matchup here. Jeffrey Springs for the Tampa Bay Rays will take on Nestor Cortes of the New York Yankees. The lines are going to be further up the page, I reckon. Yeah, there they are. Tampa Bay plus 166. New York Yankees shade under 2-1 on minus 198. Totally a set at 7.5. Dylan, lead us off with your favorite team, the Yanks.
Yeah, tricky game here, but I did make the Yankees a minus 160 favorite. I was able to get the Rays at plus 172, so I think there's some value here with the Rays. The Yankees are just not themselves right now after the All-Star break. I can't back them at this number, but Jeffrey Springs, he's been pretty solid on the road this season, 3-1, and he's only allowed 3 runs in his last 3 starts on the road. So I think the struggles continue for the offense for the Yankees. I think they're missing Stanton a little more than they're leading up to. So Springs, I think they could keep him alive here on the road. So I'll take Rays first 5.5, and I'll also take a shot with them full game money line.
Munaf, what'd you make of this one?
Yeah, definitely. Again, there is at this big of a number, there is value here on the New York Yankees. And I mean, they've been struggling since the All-Star break, and that's an understatement. And again, just echoing what Dylan said, that they are missing Stanton in this lineup. You know, when you're power bats right in the middle of it, behind Aaron Judge, you know, providing some protection and, you know, hitting the home runs that he can, that Pop has not been there since he went on the IL. Looking at the WRC numbers over the last 2 weeks against left-handed pitching, New York Yankees are still up there at number 7, but they were, I think, number 1 or number 2 prior to the Stanton injury. And the Tampa Bay Rays are all the way down to number 24 over the last 2 weeks in WRC plus against left-handed pitching. And both these pitchers have good numbers. On the road, Jeffrey Springs 3-1 with a 2.77 ERA against AL East teams, 2-1 with a 2.89 ERA. Nestor Cortes is undefeated at home at 4-0 with a 2.06 ERA, which I love this under. In this game between these two squads, again, like we mentioned, that both of these offenses are really struggling, and now we have a lefty on lefty matchup. I really do like the under at 7.5. It looks like it's trending towards an 8, and if it does, I'm gonna wait it out and see if it does get to 8, and I really will pull the plug on the under 8 if it does get there. But do like the under in this game.
Yeah, I think I've been waiting for a spot where the Yankees can get right, because they have been scuffling along. And I think this might be it, because this Tampa Bay Rays offense isn't much to write home about. We've mentioned that a few times. And actually, the Yankees hit lefties better than they hit righties. The batting average against left-handed pitching is a few ticks higher than it is against the righties. And I just think Springs is going to drop off a little bit. I think it's almost inevitable that Springs' level of performance will drop off. So I'm going to take the Yankees on the run line here. It could be a relatively low scoring game, but I think the Yankees could get this done, maybe something like 4-1, 5-2. Behind Cortes, I think it was a good spot back at home. The Yankees can start correcting the ship and moving forwards again. So that was my reading of that one. All the lines that we're giving you here on the MLB Gambling Podcast, they are to be found at WinBet. Absolutely the place to put all your Major League Baseball bets on. They have their reduced juice in baseball, as well as the new customer offer, which is a $100 match bet. You bet $100, you will get a free $100 bet. The casino is always rolling 24 hours a day as well. 100% deposit match at the casino, up to $1,000. Also, Wynn have just released their first quarterback with 5 TD prop bets. So, Munaf, I'm sure that's something you'll be tackling on the all-new NFL Gambling Podcast, which we're really looking forward to. Loads to choose from. Get over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet, and they'll know that we sent you. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Odds Trader is a new sponsor we have here as well. What an outstanding tool this is for anyone who, like us, likes a little bet. You can compare odds from all the major sports books. You can compare different sign-ups, promos, bonus codes, things like that. And then Odds Trader will also give you player stats, key game stats, injury reports, all the stuff we use, but it's never all in one place. You don't need to have three or four different tabs open because Odds Trader have it all there for you. The place to go to is oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader is the number one site for all your game day bets. Next up is grave danger of forgetting this Mets game because the timing's right in the middle, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. 7:07 Eastern first pitch, the Baltimore Orioles, the Toronto Blue Jays, where Dean Kramer will go for Baltimore and Alek Manoah draws the start for Toronto. Baltimore plus 180. Toronto are minus 210. Total errors at 8.5. Moonaf, lead us off with interesting matchup this. Baltimore, a good price.
Yeah, Dean Kramer on the mound here. He's 1-3 over his last five starts, 5.96 ERA. He's allowed 17 earned runs at about 25 and two-thirds innings pitched. On the road this season, pretty respectable, 2-2 with a 3.98 ERA, but against division opponents, he's 0-2 with a 4.71 ERA. I don't think he has started against the Blue Jays this season. Let me see if I can filter that down here. No, so he did have three appearances last season against the Blue Jays where he went 10 1/3 innings combined in three appearances and allowed 13 earned runs to this team. He also gave up 6 home runs to the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think Blue Jays do get George Springer back on Monday night. So I think that just changes the complete dynamics of this offense where they're completely a better team. When you have a guy like George Springer at the top of your lineup, really, setting the tone for this team. Alek Manoah, we've talked about him a lot this season, having a great season, 12-5 with a 2.56 ERA at home this season, 6-2 with a 2.48 ERA. He's only allowed 18 earned runs in 65 1/3 innings pitched against division opponents, 4-2 with a 1.99 ERA. His last start was against the Baltimore Orioles, where he did give up 3 earned runs in 5 innings. But I do trust Alek Manoah more at home than I do on the road. And, he's starting here at home. Over his career, this dates back to last season. He has a 2-0 record with a 2.96 ERA against the Baltimore Orioles. Only allowed 9 earned runs in about 27 1/3 innings pitched against them. So I think there's a good bounce back spot here for Alek Manoah. Only way I would play this is on the run line with Alek Manoah. I currently see that at even money. And I think that this is the time where the Blue Jays finally get rolling here. So give me the Blue Jays run line -1.5 even money with Alek Manoah on the mound.
Yeah, Moonaf, you're absolutely correct to say that the return of George Springer is a key factor, and you're absolutely right to point that out. I came down on the side of the under here, but I saw that again, more line movement. This was at 9.5 about 4 or 5 hours ago. It's moved a whole point, a whole run into 8.5, just because, like you say, I do trust Manoah. I trust Manoah at home. Baltimore, as well as they've done, they don't score loads of runs. But I also like how Kramer's been going. So 9.5 looked high. I might have to revisit it at 8.5 and have a little think about that. But my initial lead was to the under. Dylan, what was your number on this one?
Yeah, my number was 7.7. So I'm going under as well. I got 8.5. I wish I saw 9.5. I got 8.5 at even money, though. So two good pitchers on the bump with Dean and Manoah. Kramer, he tends to give up a little more contact on the road, but most of his games on the road have gone under the number, while Manoah hasn't been his normal self the past few games. But he's faced the Orioles twice, and while at home, he shut them down. So I don't know if he'll be able to go out there and shut them down again, but I think we see another low-scoring game. It's scary to take the under between these two teams, but I think between these two pitchers, I think we see a low-scoring game.
Yeah, completely agree with you, Dylan. 7:10 Eastern first pitch, the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians carrying on the series that started with a doubleheader, which is in play as we speak. Garrett Hill will start for the Detroit Tigers and Zach Plesac goes for the Cleveland Indians. Lions here are Cleveland are minus 200 favorites. Detroit plus 170. What are you all laughing at?
You What's said going on? Indians went to the
Cowboys. Oh shit! First time this season, really?
You went a few months.
Mate, what's the date? August the 14th or whatever. I managed that. That's incredible. Well done. Well spotted as well. Because if you, there's no way I would have spotted you mentioned it. It does say in shy letters on my screen, Guardians as well. Ah, that's incredible. Okay. I think I called the Detroit Tigers the Detroit Lions the other night and no one noticed. Because I'll be doing some football research. I always get them two mixed up. They shouldn't be allowed two big cats in the same city. It's confusing. The Cleveland Guardians are minus 200. Detroit are plus 170. Total here is set at 8.5. Garrett Hill, 2-3, 4.66 ERA, 36 2/3. Pitched 18 strikeouts. Zach 2-10. 4.32 ERA, 114 2/3 with 90 strikeouts. Hill has had two good starts, his last couple, but they're both being at home. Now, what you need to decide today with Garrett Hill is, do you trust the last two starts and do you trust the fact that he's settled down a little bit? As I say, he's only pitched 36 innings, so has he just settled into this role in the majors? Or going on the road, does that cause you a problem again? Because he's pitched 15 innings on the road and he's struggled with it. He's got a 7.8 ERA. So you need to decide whether he can translate that better home form and take it with him tomorrow into Cleveland. Zach Plesac eventually had a good start last time, and I think we all backed him. He cashed some decent bets for us last week. It has been rare, though. I mean, that 2-10 record is pretty ugly. Bear in mind, this Guardians team have been winning games. I thought this had the look of a slow burner about it, a little bit like the game that's in progress now. We just mentioned that Cleveland had taken a 4-1 lead, but what inning was that? Seventh or eighth or something along those lines. That game was 1-1 pretty late on, and I think this game tomorrow can mirror that. So it was a first five under for me on this one. Detroit and the Guardians, Dylan. What do you reckon to this?
Yeah, another under for me as well. I was able to grab an under 8.5. I see mostly eights out there now. I still like the under. I made my total 7.7. Zach Plesac, he just faced the Tigers last week and was actually really good. He was able to go six innings, only give up one run. In general, actually, the whole season, Plesac has done pretty well against the Tigers. Hasn't given up more than two runs per outing this year against them. So I agree. I think we'll continue, like today, mirror another low-scoring game. And the Tigers just can't buy runs right now. So under 8.5, under 8, whatever you could get, I like that.
Moonaf, Detroit at Cleveland?
Yeah, this might be a series where you're probably just going to want to bet the Guardians on the run line every single game. Today was an example of that on Monday afternoon where Aaron Civale has great numbers against this team, and you know he's covered the run line in seven out of those nine games, and I think that's going to continue here with Zach Plesac. I know he doesn't have a win registered this season against the Detroit Tigers, but I think this Tigers team has kind of, I guess, maybe folded up for the season, and offensively they're just not there, guys. Again, one run today. Offense has not been very good for them. Zach Plesac this season, 16 innings pitched. He's only allowed 5 earned runs. Like Dylan mentioned, he hasn't given up more than 2 in any of the appearances so far this season. And again, you know, we talk about teams that are motivated. And, you know, between the Twins and the Guardians, these are two teams that you don't want to get in front of because they are battling for that AL Central division. And every game is going to be important. And you have to take care of business against teams like the Tigers in that division that are just not very good this season. So I'm going to be on the Guardians run line here again, minus 1.5 with Plesac on the mound. And, you know, you mentioned it there, Malcolm, as well, is that Garrett Hill, despite having a solid two outings over his last two games, he's gotten into trouble on the road where he's 0-3 with a 7.80 ERA. So I'm going to continue to fade that. I think the Guardians will put up enough runs to get the run line here. And I'm looking at a similar situation as it was on Monday afternoon where they get a 5-1 type of victory. So give me the Guardians on the run line, minus 1.5 at even money as well.
Your mate Javi Baez made his 500th error this afternoon at shortstop as well, so that was a nice milestone for him.
We should get a player prop on that, Malcolm.
On over under 1.5 errors per game. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just he bobbled it, then picked it up, then just launched it 3 yards left of first base. everybody was safe. 7:20 Eastern first pitch, I have remembered to scroll back to the top, where the New York Mets will take on the Atlanta Braves. Taijuan Walker goes for the Mets and Uncle Charlie Morton for Atlanta. The Mets are +115. Atlanta -135. Totally it is 8.5. I purposely took this away from Dylan so we can get a fair handicap on this first up. Moonaf, you can handicap that for us.
That's not fair. All right. So Uncle Charlie on the mound for the Braves, like you mentioned. Taijuan Walker, another pitcher that I'm surprised to see has 10 victories on the season. But, you know, when you kind of dig a look or take a more in-depth look at it, you know, Mets have, you know, the amount of wins that they do have this season for a reason. So, you know, Walker, I think the number is really inflated here over his last 5 games because he did get roughed up by this Braves team back on Friday, August 5th, where he gave up 8 earned runs in that first inning to the Braves, allowed 2 home runs in that game. So, you know, the number is inflated there, but on the road so far this season, 6-2 with a 3.38 ERA against NL East teams, 5-1 with a 4.20 ERA. If we take away those 8 earned runs that he gave up to the Braves, those numbers are significantly going to look better. But I think this might be a spot where, you know, this is a bounce back spot for Walker against the Braves. You know, despite getting blown up in his last game, I think that he can, you know, bounce back here. Uncle Charlie Morton, you know, he hasn't been very good against the Braves, against the Mets this season. He's 0-2 with a 7.59 ERA. He's allowed 9 earned runs in 10 2/3 innings pitched against them. Against NL East opponents, 2-3 with a 4.84 ERA, 24 earned runs in about 43 innings pitched. Last start, he got hit up by the Boston Red Sox. 6 innings, gave up 5 earned runs, allowed 3 home runs in that game as well. So I think there's an opportunity for the Mets to bounce back here against the Braves and the for Walker to bounce back against the Braves. So at an underdog price at +115, I'm going to take the Mets on the money line for this game here, Malcolm.
Dylan, surprise us. What are you thinking?
No surprise here. Give me the Mets money line.
He's worse than Sean and the Eagles.
I have to. Mets first 5.5 as well. Munaf's a very smart man back in the Mets right now. I don't have to go through this every time we handicap the Mets, but we've owned this team and honestly every team in our division. We have yet to lose a series this year against any team in our division, and the Mets just seem to get up for these big games. I think there was a stat like we're 31-19 against playoff teams this year. So it's going to be a huge series. We know it, this 4-game series. I think with how well we've been able to play, I don't think we should be dogs right now. I get that Atlanta's home, but Mets on the road, they're 35-21. And I think Walker's going to be laser focused. He's going to come ready to pitch. He's going to have a bounce back start. And Munaf hit the nail on the head. The Mets have just tattooed Uncle Charlie every time he's come out. So give me the road puppy, actually, this time and first 5.5.
I think sorry to interrupt you. I think that if the Mets, you know, win 3 out of 4 in this series against the Braves, they're pretty much, yeah, they clinched the division. I mean, I know it's still early on and things can happen, but that puts them out to what, 8.5 game lead, a 7.5 game lead. And if you take a look at their schedule left through the New York Mets, they have the 4th easiest schedule remaining, and they have games against the Pirates, the Rockies, the 6 against the Nationals, 3 against the A's. So, you know, I think they're going to be really focused for this series, and I think that they can wrap up this division looking at what's remaining on their schedule.
I've got bad news for you, Dylan, here, is that I like the Mets as well in this spot. Actually, it was even money earlier on, so that line has shifted a little bit. The Mets have drifted out to +115. But, yeah, I'm just not really convinced by what Morton's done this season. Like you say, the Mets are where they are for a reason. I've been really good against those top sides. That was a great stat you rolled out about their winning performance against playoff teams. So, yeah, I think they're a slightly better team, and I think you're getting a slightly better pitcher. So, yeah, +115, very appealing price there.
Did the Mets break the Yankees? Because as soon as we beat them, they went into this losing streak.
Is that what you is that what you'd like to think, Dylan?
That's what I like to think, obviously. Yeah. do you guys think that though?
I don't think they broke him. We talked about Stanton being out, and it's really their pitching. Like, there's no answers for them at the pitching position. I mean, you know, you have Gerrit Cole. You don't know what you're going to get from him. But, I mean, I know you have Cortez, but it's – there's just something that's missing from this team, and the bullpen has not been very good for them either. So, I don't know. I just don't think they have the ingredients for them to win a championship, and I think they're pretty much doomed because, you know, Malcolm picked them to win it.
No, I think – I mean, everyone has a little slump at some point, even – I mean, the Dodgers are going to do it. I think what happened is that they've missed – you can either miss hitters, you can miss starting pitching, or have a slump in starting pitching, and then your bullpen pieces. And the Yankees, this has all happened at the same time. And it actually might not be a bad thing, because they can just ride this slump out for two and a half weeks, and then just get back on the horse. And as we mentioned earlier on when I was handicapping that Yankees game, this looks like a good get-right spot for me. And then Stanton will be back. And yeah, I think they'll be absolutely fine. I just think there's been a bit of a perfect storm of all three facets of the game that have just dipped kind of at the same time. But yeah, no worries for me at all. I'll still be cashing those tickets in October, boys. I'll buy you a pint out the winnings. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, pick'ems, survivors, fantasy pools, to one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features. We at the MLB Gambling Podcast have teamed up with Run Your Pool, and we're offering a SGPN NFL Survivor Contest, which is free to enter. So you need to go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/survivor, and the prizes are $500 to the winner and a $250 gift card to the SGPN store. On the subject of football, Sleeper, the fantasy app that we all use, or over 4 million users, have added a over or under game to their app, where you can pick some player props, overs, unders. You can pick your sport, pick your players, and then you can win 2 to 20 times the money that you stake by being correct. NFL season is right around the corner, and Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into your fantasy experience. There's a great little chat feature as well. You can get in there with all your friends. You can copy each other's picks, ride the hot hand. Download Sleeper now. Use the code sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Sleeper.com/SGP. You'll get a $100 match on your first bonus. T's and C's apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. We are heading to 7:40 Eastern first pitch between the Kansas City Royals and the Minnesota Twins, where Zach Greinke will start on the road for Kansas, and Sonny Gray goes for Minnesota. -190 on the Twins, Kansas City +160, total set at 8.5. And this one is going across to D-Rock. Lead us off.
Yeah, give me the Twins here, Malcolm, -1.5. I was actually surprised we're getting plus money on the run line, but I'll take it. Greinke's been awful on the road, 0-7 with a 7.16 ERA. He's 0-2 against Minnesota with a 6 ERA, and the Twins are hitting .333 off of him, so not someone I really want to back. And Sonny Gray's just been much better than Greinke, especially at home. So I think the Twins keep it rolling. Give me -1.5 Twins at +115.
Mudaf?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Greinke this season. Pitcher that you want to back at home, on the road, 0-5, 7.16 ERA. He's not been very good against the Twins this season. Two appearances, he has an ERA of 6, giving up 6 earned runs and 9 innings pitched against them. And again, like I talked about with the Guardians, it's a team like the Twins that want to beat up on the lesser competition of the division. So I do like the run line here with Minnesota Twins. Give me the -1.5, +115 as well.
I took to the total for this game, 8.5. And I like the under, just basically as a bet on Sonny Gray to go well, meaning that Minnesota would have to score all of those runs themselves. I thought round about eight, looked like an appropriate line. This has got the look of maybe a 6-2 about it. Greinke will come up to runs, but he has been he has struggled on the road, yeah, but he's been a little bit more serviceable lately. And Minnesota aren't particularly potent offense. Well, I think they can put it together enough to win, but the total here at 8.5 looks vulnerable to me, so I'm happy to dip underneath that one. 7:45 Eastern first pitch. The Colorado Rockies and the St. Louis Cardinals. Two lefties again. Kyle Freeland for Colorado and Jose Quintana will go for the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are further up the page. Hang on. There we go. -209 St. Louis. Colorado +172. Total here set at 7.5. Moonaf, it looks like a home banker, but could you make a case for Colorado?
I can. The St. Louis Cardinals over the last 2 weeks, weighted runs created plus, are number 4 in the entire league. Their slugging is number 3, OPS is number 4, and they are just crushing it. Team batting average, I'm sorry, was the other one I was looking at. It dipped down to number 8, but you know, these two teams just recently matched up, I think 2 weeks ago. Last week, and Kyle Freeland got hit against this Cardinals offense. He went 4 1/3 innings, gave up 10 hits in that game, 6 earned runs allowed, 2 walks in that game. So it wasn't very pretty for him. They got to him early and they got to him often in that game. And on the road so far this year, Kyle Freeland has been respectable at 3-4. But the way that the Cardinals are hitting against left-handed pitching, I think that's what really makes the difference here for me as well. Jose Quintana has kind of struggled against the Colorado Rockies this season, but he did have a great outing against them in his last start, actually in Colorado, where he did go 6 innings and only allowed 2 earned runs, struck out 6 in that span as well. And early on in the season, guys, we talked about how Colorado was really good against left-handed pitching over the last, over the course of the season. They've kind of taken a dip there down to number 10 now. They are still top 10, but again, Cardinals are a team that are motivated right now. They're in control of that NL Central. I like them to get the victory here and take care of business against the Colorado Rockies. Give me the run line here for the St. Louis Cardinals. Also be looking at a team total, probably 5.5. If you get a 4.5 in this game, I think that's what the number may be, especially with a total of 7.5. But I think that the Cardinals take care of business, especially on the run line at plus money.
Dylan, Colorado at St. Louis.
Yeah, same thing. Give me the Cardinals run line at +115. These two pitchers just faced each other last week, and Cardinals got the win comfortably. Kyle Freeland, he has pitched better on the road this year, but I just don't trust him against this red-hot Cardinal team. Everything that Munoz just said, I think Jose Quintana is the much better pitcher. I expect some runs to be scored from both sides. I do like the over. I set my total at 8.4, but I think the Cardinals get the win comfortably. So give me the Cardinals -1.5 at +115.
Yeah, I absolutely love the over as well here. I thought exactly the same as you, Dylan. Runs from both sides. Not interested in Freeland at all. And I think Quintana could be good for 2 or 3. I saw this at 7 earlier on. I was absolutely stunned by that. And that's got to 7.5, but still, I think this could easily get to tonight, something like 7-3. I've predicted quite a lot of correct scores tonight, but yeah, I think we can get to double figures here. That caught my eye, that one. Couple of familiar faces in the chat room. David, good evening. And John Lee's there as well. Always enjoy John's Lee. Input. Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Old school DJ and always loads of fun in the, what was the Slack channel, now the Discord as well. Very sharp mind, John Lee. 8:05 Eastern first pitch is the Oakland Athletics at the Texas Rangers. This is the only game on this slate that is off the board. We have no pitcher for Texas. None of us could find a pitcher here. JP Sears goes for Oakland. And I can tell you a little bit about him, but that's all on this one. Sears, he's got a 3-0 record this season. He's only pitched 27 1/3 with 18 strikeouts. This is going to be his second start since he was traded across from the Yankees, I think he came from. And his first start was all right. 2 earned runs, 3 hits on 5 1/3. I like him. I think he's going to go okay. Having said that, I have got nothing else to add to this game at all, particularly with no Texas pitcher. So either of you boys want to chip in at this point, or are we scooching on to the next one?
Nothing for me.
Yeah, nothing for me as well. I do see Colby Allard maybe getting the potential start, so maybe a bullpen game for them.
Yeah.
Okay. So a hard scooch is the answer there. 8:10 Eastern first pitch. The Houston Astros at the Chicago White Sox. This is the pitching matchup of the day. Justin Verlander for the Houston Astros and Dylan Cease for the Chicago White Sox. Find the lines for you. Oh, shoot. Sorry, I lost my page. There we go. Houston are minus 130. The White Sox are plus 110. Tolier has set at 7, which raised a few eyebrows amongst you two boys. Dylan, great pitching matchup.
Yeah, best one on the slate for tomorrow. I got two plays here. Give me the Astros money line. I was able to get them at minus 116. And I'm obviously going to under 7 at minus 102. Both pitchers in this matchup, ERA lower than 2. I think that's remarkable to see, especially how late we are into the season. So I do trust the Astros more, not only with their bats, but with Verlander on the mound. Both have been fantastic, but Verlander has been a little better on the road, while Cease, he struggled early on at home. Plus the White Sox, like I always mentioned, they're not the best home team. So I think both pitchers get theirs, but they keep this game under. So maybe you want to look first five under, but I like the full game under here. So I made my total 6.1.
Moonaf, are you tailing the under?
Yeah, I was very surprised to see this number at 7. Especially with, like, you know, Dylan mentioned the way these two guys have been, you know, dealing the ball since the All-Star break. And I know Noah dropped a note as well in our little Slack channel there. And I'll read it off here. So Cease and Verlander tomorrow may be the first pitching matchup of sub-2 ERAs qualifying pitchers since 1985. This late in the season, it's very rare to even have one pitcher that's under 2 as far as ERA, let alone 2. So you go back all the way to, you know, September 11, 1985. I think that's the last time it happened. So, you know, I'm going to go under in this game as well, under 7. If I had to pick a side, I would go with the Astros in this game as well, just because, like Dylan mentioned, I do trust Verlander a little more than I do trust Dylan Cease. I know Verlander gave up 3 earned runs to the Texas Rangers. It was bound to happen for him to come down back to earth a little bit, but I think he can, you know, pick up right where he left off in this game. So Astros money line minus 130 and the under 7 in this game as well for me.
Yeah, you're right about that number 7 being quite surprising. I think the show we did last night, Moonaf, there was 2 6.5s on that slate, which were Musgrove against Alcantara, and then Luis Castillo and Shohei Ohtani both came in at 6.5. So why Verlander v. Cease then comes in at 7 is a bit of a head scratcher. So yeah, I won't add too much onto this. I like the plays you've both given out. I like Houston. Great price, Dylan, minus 116. And I like the under, yeah. So nothing very original to add to both of those picks. The 8:10 Eastern first pitch is the LA Dodgers at the Milwaukee Brewers, where Ryan Pepiot, are we going with a soft French tea, will go for the LA Dodgers. And Brandon Woodruff gets the start for the Milwaukee Brewers. The lines are, oh my goodness, all over the place here. The Dodgers, it's a pick 'em. We got to pick 'em. Minus 110, each of 2. Tolia is set. It's 8. Moonaf, is it Pepiot or Pepio? Where are you going?
Your guess is better than mine. You know how I am with pronunciations. I'm just going to call him Ryan because I don't want to mess up his last name here. But, you know, he's been pretty good for the Los Angeles Dodgers this season. He has a 1-0 record. I know he got a start in his last game, or sorry, his last 2 games. And he did get into a little bit of trouble against the Twins last game, where he did get 4 earned runs in that game. The issue with him, with Ryan, is that he's prone to giving up walks. And if you kind of take a look at his last 5 appearances, he allowed at least 3 walks in 4 of the last 5 games. So, you know, if the Milwaukee Brewers are able to stay patient at the plate here, they can draw some walks, and that's how they're going to probably, you know, score some runs and play some small ball, whether it's, you know, slack flies or bunts or things like that. I think that teams have gotten away from that, you know, in this era of baseball. So I think that's the one thing that I'm going to be looking out for, is that if the Brewers are able to stay patient at this plate against him, I think that, you know, they'll be able to put up some runs here. Brandon Woodruff on the season, he's having another great year, 9-3 with a 3.52 ERA, even better at home where he's undefeated, 5-0 with a 2.38 ERA. You guys know how hard it is for me to pick against the Dodgers, and I think a lot of us that are, it's hard to pick against the Dodgers just because they've been on a roll over their last 13 games. I know they dropped the game against the Royals on Sunday, but I think there's a spot where the Brewers can probably steal one behind Brandon Woodruff. So give me the Milwaukee Brewers here on the money line. I actually kind of do like it in the first five innings behind Brandon Woodruff. That's going to be my play. First five innings money line with the Brewers.
Dylan, it's a pick 'em. Can you split them?
Yeah, it's going to be a surprise, but I'm actually going to side with Munoz. I'm taking the Brewers here as well. I know I was the one who said yesterday you can't fade the Dodgers right now, but I'm going to go with Pepiot, I think that's how you pronounce it. But I'm going to go with Ryan as well. I just can't trust him over Woodruff right now. He's been lights out at home, Brandon Woodruff. 5-0, 2.38 ERA, and opponents are only hitting 171 off of him in Milwaukee. So I know the Dodgers are red hot right now, but I think this could be a bad spot. And you mentioned the walks. Brewers, they are very patient at the plate. They're sixth in the league with regards to walks. So if they could be a little more patient tomorrow, get some runners on base, I do like them first five as well. But I'm going to go full game money line. I got it at minus 105.
Well, a few boys are going to zig. I will zag. I can't fade the Dodgers. We talked about it last night, and I won't fade the Dodgers, especially against a team that I find hard to back. I'm not convinced at all by the Brewers. I really find it hard to pick them. It's got to be special circumstances for me to get behind the Brewers. And against the Dodgers, I'm just not going to do it. Yes, they've got normally a much better pitcher on the mound in Woodruff, but I still think the Dodgers have got enough in that lineup to be able to stay with them and outscore them, especially against the Brewers. The Brewers will score three or four runs, in which case the Dodgers will score four or five. So yeah, it's dead straightforward. That the LA Dodgers at minus 110.
Moon off a quick side note, Walker Buehler is having season-ending surgery on his
ankle. Mention that. Yeah, that's a blow to them. I mean, that's one of the guys that's their ace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know about Clayton Kershaw. He's been dealing with stuff as well. So maybe some question marks here for this pitching staff going into the postseason. I know they still have Tyler Anderson and Tony Gonsolin, but, you know, it's a different animal when you're going into the postseason.
Absolutely. Two games left. The penultimate game here will be a 9:38 Eastern first pitch between the Seattle Mariners and the LA Angels. Double left-handed pitching again. Robbie Ray for Seattle and Jose Suarez for the Angels. The Angels are a home puppy plus 145. Seattle minus 170. Totally set at 7.5. Robbie Ray 8-8, 3.90 ERA. 136 innings pitched, 156 strikeouts. Suarez 4-4 with a 4.04 ERA, 62 innings pitched, 61 strikeouts. Robbie has struggled a little bit lately, but his one good start came on the 5th of August against the LA Angels. This looks like a good fit to me. Just the eye test, obviously, he had that start against him. Robbie Ray's thing is striking people out. The LA Angels thing is striking out. So it just it's hand in glove, these two things. Suarez, 3.65 ERA in his last five, been going along okay. He's pitched 10 1/3 against Seattle so far this season, only given up one earned run in that time. This is set up beautifully for an under at 7.5. So that will be my play, Dylan.
Oops, sorry, I was on mute. But no, I'm going to actually go with the Mariners -1.5 at even money. So I know Robbie Ray, he hasn't done his best work on the road, but he hasn't been as bad as advertised. Plus, he's done really well against the Angels this season. He's faced them twice. He's only given up two runs in 14 innings. So I think the Mariners need to win this series because they're pushing for a playoff spot. I think they'll be a little more focused. They did drop 2 of 3 from the Rangers, which kind of worried me a little bit, but I think they bounce back here on the road. Give me the Mariners -1.5 at even money.
Okay, so we got one on the under, one on the Mariners. Moonaf, where's the third vote going?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of take a look at what everything that, you know, Dylan just said there, that he's been incredible against the Angels in two starts this season, and they've won both their games. I agree that I think Mariners will take care of business here. And again, you can't trust the Angels bat to, you know, put up very many runs just because, again, number one, they just haven't been great offensively. But Robbie Ray, like Dylan mentioned, has shut them down. I'm going to go with the strikeout prop here with Robbie Ray. He struck out 10 batters again, 10 batters each in two starts this season against the LA Angels. So I think that, you know, this might be another game where he has 8, 9, possibly again, 10 strikeouts against the Angels. So I do agree about the under. I do agree about the Mariners, but I think the one play for me will be Robbie Ray strikeouts in this game.
Final game on the slate, 9:45 Eastern. First pitch between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants. Merrill Kelly is on the bump for Arizona, and Jake Junis will take the ball for San Francisco. It's a second pick'em of the evening, -110 each of two. Total here set at 8. Dylan, lead us off with the D-backs at the Giants.
Besides the Verlander and Cease matchup, I think this is a close second. I really like this matchup between Kelly and Jacob Junis, but I'll end the show with a total. I couldn't come down on a side. So give me the under 8, another game where, like I said, we have two really good pitchers. Kelly's going for the Snakes. Junis is on the bump for the Giants. Junis, he already shut down the D-backs last month. And with Kelly, he's been great on the road this season. In his last three starts on the road, he's allowed 3 runs in 20 innings. He also hasn't allowed more than 2 runs in 3 starts against the Giants. So this game just screams under to me. During the night in the Bay Area, I think the ball dies down a little bit. So give me the under 8.
Well, I'll chip in there then, because exactly the same handicap. 2 pitchers that I like against 2 offenses that don't do a lot in a pitcher's park. Under 8 was a fairly straightforward pick. Munaf?
Yeah, I mean, Junis hasn't been very good over his last 5 games, 0-2 with a 7.16 ERA. It was against the Padres and the Dodgers. So, I mean, you know, how much can you, you know, really, I guess, penalize him for that? He has been good against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I know it's only 1 start. It's a very small sample. We're at 4 1/3. But I think what I really like is how Merrill Kelly has gone against this team this season. I agree about the under in this game. I'll possibly also look at the team total under for the Giants in this game as well, just because, you know, we talked about how good Merrill Kelly has been. He's only given up he gave up 1 to the Giants in the first 5. And then in this start, most recent start on July 25th, the D-backs actually shut out the Giants. So this number comes out around 3.5. I think I like the under Giants team total in this game with Merrill Kelly on the mound. Also, we'll take the Diamondbacks first 5 inning money line as well. I really like Kelly and the way he's been in recent form, not only pitching, but also against the Giants.
Okay, lock and dog picks to come after our final couple of messages here. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. What you need to do is take a little coffee quiz, and Trade will pair you up with the best, the most suitable coffee for you. With a little algorithm, they will find a perfect coffee for you. First match guarantee as well. Trade is confident they'll match you right first time. If they don't, they'll take your feedback, and a coffee expert will work with you to send you a brand new bag. You can get it as whole beans or ground, however you brew it at home. And they guarantee you love your first order. Or, as I said, they'll replace it for free. Trade has delivered 5 million bags of fresh coffee with more than 750,000 positive reviews. Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. So get started by taking the quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee you love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. And Dave is the banking app that will help you out of a sticky situation. If you need a few extra quid at the end of the month to pay some bills or buy a gift, or you've just left yourself a little bit short, which I think we can all empathize with, the banking app Dave can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash, which is more money to fill your bank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on bills, etc. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For T's and C's, go to dave.com/legal Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member of the FDIC. Okay, gentlemen, solid handicapping. A lot of confident picks, I reckon. Good night in store. But what are the lock and dogs going to be? Moonaf, if you can lead us off.
Yeah, for my let me start with my which one was it that I really liked was the dog of the night. I'll start with my lock. I'm gonna continue backing the Guardians here. Give me the run line -1.5 at even money. Zach, please, Zach, going up against Garrett Hill. We talked about how Garrett Hill has just not been very good on the season, on the road especially, and you know, these are games that the Guardians have to win for them to, you know, really stay in contention for that AL Central division. And Plesac has been great against the Tigers throughout his career, so I'm gonna back the Guardians on the run line at even money as my lock. For my dog, I'm gonna go over to the Royals and Twins game. Give me the Twins run line -1.5 +115. Zach Greinke on the road, we talked about it. Has not been very good over his last five starts on the road. The opposition is 4-1 on the run line against the Royals and Zach Greinke. So I think this is a game where Sonny Gray will pitch well. I think the offense gets to Zach Greinke again, like it did previously. So I'm going to take the Twins run line -1.5 +115 as my dog.
Two run lines for Moonaf, getting a bit exotic there, smelling himself after his Willie Z bet landed last night. Dylan, what have you got?
I'll start with my lock. For my lock, I'll go in that Padres Marlins game. I'm going to go under 7.5. I set my total at 6.2. I just really like Edwin Cabrera. I think he's really going to be able to limit the Padres. And we know the Marlins can't score too many runs anyway. So I think we see a low scoring game there. So I'm going to go under 7.5 Padres Marlins as my lock. And for my dog, give me the Mets at +120. I just think we're the better teams. We've destroyed Uncle Charlie twice. And I think Walker's going to have a bounce back start here. I really do. And if he doesn't, then hey, he's our fifth starter. It's all right. Our other pitchers will get to the Braves. So it's fine. I think he'll bounce back here, though.
Okay. Homer pick for Dylan. My lock is going to be the over 7.5 in the Colorado St. Louis game. I thought this was way low. This has got double figures written all over it to me. It's the easiest cash of the season. So I will take that over 7.5. And I'm going to have double dog, Dylan. I've got the New York Mets at +115. I'm sorry to mush you. But yeah, it was either that or Miami. I liked Miami. But I don't, the line movements put me off there. I saw +165, which was great value. +130 has got me looking elsewhere. So I have alighted upon the New York Mets. So I'll double dog them up with Dylan there at +115. And that, boys and girls, concludes our episode for the night. Dylan, what's happening? Anything you need to tell us before we crack on?
Oh, nothing much. I don't think you're going to mush the pick. I think you're wise by taking the better team. No, nothing much. Just going to relax. Got a bunch of games. Probably going to watch the first game of the Mets Braves tonight. So probably relax. Got a lot of work to do.
Moonaf, hard at work, I assume. NFL stuff?
Yeah, got to do some NFL gambling podcast stuff. You know, some other things as well for the network. So you know, it's busy times here with NFL season approaching, and you know, us being in the midst of the MLB season. So if you haven't already heard the announcement, the NFL Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify. You know, a lot of division previews coming out. And then the grind of the season will start as well. A lot of contributors, including Dylan and myself, we'll be doing, I believe, the Monday Night Football pod for the season and some other pods as well. So make sure you're subscribed to the NFL Gambling Podcast as well as the MLB Gambling Podcast as well.
I assume my invitation to the NFL Gambling Podcast has been lost in the post. You'll have to send another postcard out for me to reach that one. Yeah, nothing. No comment, gentlemen, from either of them. There you go.
I didn't see an application come in for you.
I shouldn't need to apply. I mean, I'm the go-to guy, surely.
Even I had to apply.
Did you? Okay. Everything I know about NFL gambling, I learned off Sean and Ryan. So if that's a positive thing, then let that tell you. Yes.
I might need to borrow that Charger jersey because we're doing preview soon. Me and me and Moonoff, so I might have to borrow it.
Absolutely, yeah. You can have my my Darren Sproles number 43 Chargers jersey. Excellent, right? Well, thank you, gents. That was an absolute pleasure as always. Good luck with your picks. Thanks everyone for joining us. The chat box. Thanks David and Jong and everyone who's listened and tuned in as well. So yeah, we do appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with loads more picks. Lots of winners in that last hour that we've done. Until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.